Welcome home.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here in East Lansing.
I wanted to get your take on what we heard yesterday from Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke's speech.
Well, the number one thing that we heard was the chairman came out and talked about the Open Market Committee, which they haven't done in the 98-year history of the Fed. And I think that's a good thing. They're starting to get a little bit more transparency in terms of what they're doing. Federal Reserve Chairman said nothing that was really surprising or that couldn't have been predicted. But the fact was he was there, he was on the record, and he was talking to people in a manner that let them see what was happening with their central bank.
Before I ask you some specifics about what the chairman said yesterday, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how much influence does the White House have on Mr. Bernanke?
Well, technically none. But, of course, the Federal Reserve Chairman and the governors are, well, at least some of the governors are appointed by the president. Confirmed by the Senate, but appointed by the Senate, by the President. There is a long-standing view that the Supreme Court reads the election returns, and so does the Federal Reserve Board. However, the Federal Reserve as an institution is created because basically no one wants monetary policy to be run out of the White House or out of Congress. So a separate institution was created, which has a tenuous constitutional basis, and we have preserved it as a separate institution, and basically Republicans and Democrats have agreed that it's better that it would be a separate institution because we don't want Nancy Pelosi or John Boehner or President Obama or President Bush running monetary policy in an effort to get reelected.
Patrick, help us understand exactly what the Federal Reserve does and how that affects us in our everyday lives.
Well, the Federal Reserve is the United States central bank, and it is the most important central bank in the entire world. The U.S. dollar is something of a reserve currency for much of the world's population, and it is a very important part of the world economy and, of course, a central part of the U.S. economy. It is the Federal Reserve that decides how much money supply we have. And clearly, if you are growing that money supply, and I can explain how they do that, that tends to drive inflation up. Inflation going up has, for centuries, all the way back to the Roman Empire, been a signal of a fraying of society. And if we allow inflation to go unchecked, it typically destroy societies, and that has happened several times in history. So.
Patrick, if I've learned anything from people like you, other experts, it's that although it appears that on the federal level we're trying to make some cuts and trying to help the economy and trying to help the U.S. dollar, we are basically are in a world of hurt. Economically around the world where the dollar is being phased out or plans are being made to phase out the dollar, and that we need more drastic cuts and more drastic action to strengthen our economy and the U.S. dollar. What's your take on that?
Well, I think you've said that with a certain amount of modesty in terms of emphasis. The fact is the United States economy cannot support its level of expenditures. We're at the point where we have literally $1 trillion in deficit a year. And it is a figure that dwarfs anything else in entire human history. And even the strongest economy in the world, which is ours, and even the what I consider to be the best nation in the world, ours, even we cannot afford an unlimited amount of expenditures for which we have not raised any money to cover. And that's why you see unprecedented actions around the world, and including in the United States, where people are saying, you know what, if we continue the expenditure path that we've been on, there's no way to preserve the dollar as a sound currency. There's no way to preserve the United States government as an institution that's running with the support of the taxpayers. That's just a disastrous idea for much of the globe, and that's why you're starting to see people say things that are very uncomfortable, including, most recently, you have Standard & Poor's giving a negative outlook to the U.S. Treasury. I mean, obviously they should have been on the watch a bit more of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but I'm quite surprised to have them say that the U.S. dollar is itself a security that has a negative outlook.
Are we doomed to fail because politicians seem to be more interested in getting reelected as opposed to implementing legislation that can get us out of this mess in a quicker way?
I don't think we're doomed. I mean, the risks of politicians debasing the money supply and spending money that they don't have was noted at least as far back as the Romans. I mean, there's a famous speech about how you have to. I think it was Pericles or someone like that that gave the speech about how the ambition of politicians should be curbed, the money supply should be strengthened, the treasury should be solidified. We should spend money that we actually have earned, and that part of human nature hasn't changed much in 20 centuries. We do have elections in the United States, and obviously if you look at the last two elections, both times, people resoundingly asked for some change. I don't think I need to give your listeners, and they may not want at this time in any ways, the election's a year away, so we don't even know who's going to be running for different things or what they'll say, but clearly we are on a path that we can't sustain, I think if citizens say, we can't sustain that and we want to change, and if you, politician, promise me more of the same, I'm going to vote for someone else, that has a very corrective influence.
We've got two more questions for Patrick Anderson here on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Yesterday, Bernanke said that the Fed cannot take additional steps to try to ease high unemployment without escalating inflation. If inflation were to accelerate, the Fed would have to raise rates to slow borrowing and spending and blunt price increases. Hiring might then slow. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I've not been in favor of the so-called quantitative easing, a very technical term for a very dangerous thing, which is just creating more money, even when you're not trying to lower interest rates anymore. And we've had since the beginning of the Great Recession, interest rates that the Federal Reserve Bank uses to lend money to banks that are almost zero. I mean, basically, federally chartered banks, members of the Federal Reserve System, can get money from the Fed for 0%. Give or take some basis points, 0%. That doesn't mean a small business can borrow for, say, 2%. Small businesses have a very difficult time borrowing any money. In the real economy that's out there, we have a limitation to how much the Federal Reserve can do just by lowering interest rates. And what the chairman's saying now is that, you and your listeners should be aware that the Fed's been criticized for how fast they've been moving with their quantitative easing and how much money supply increase that has occurred. He's saying we're not going to do any more because we run the risk of inflation, and I agree with that.
And finally, Patrick, the Fed believes that the change in real gross domestic product will increase in 2012 and 2013, and also that the unemployment rate will dip in 2012 and 2013. Do you agree with that?
Well, as a forecast, I think that's a reasonable forecast for them to take. The U.S. economy is improving. Fortunately, Michigan, I think, is improving faster than the U.S. economy, but, of course, Michigan was one of the worst economies in the entire country. So we've got a lot longer to climb out of our hole. So I think it's a planning document that's an entirely reasonable forecast for the Fed to be looking at.
All right. Patrick Anderson is with the Anderson Economic Group. We always enjoy talking with you. Thanks so much.
Good to speak with you this morning.